Welcome to Grace in the Shadows. This is Dr. Marla Beeler and
Dr. J.
Dr. Jonathan Beeler. Well, hello, everybody. Hope you are doing well today. We want to give a quick shout out to Elgin, Illinois.
Elgin.
Yeah, Elgin, another new city that we have. And perfect, so we're so
perfect,
excited.
Perfect.
Yeah. So it looks like a really pretty place. They have skiing. They have lakes.
Nice.
Yeah, let's try and get that RV out. Yep.
The RV we don't have.
You can check us out at graceintheshadowsor.org. You can text or call 251-244-4645, or you can email us at drjonathan@graceintheshadowsor.org. All right. Give your horrible jokes.
Yes.
Okay.
When does a joke become a dad joke?
When you tell it.
When it becomes apparent.
Oh, you like that? My answer.
Yeah, I got another one.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Dad, can you explain to me what a solar eclipse is?
Okay.
No sun?
Oh, no.
No sun? Whoa! That was funny. Come on, laugh with me.
That was
dad joke. Good. No, not bad joke. No, not dad joke. No.
All right, so I have a really interesting fact for us today. In the 1920s, there was a bizarre fad called pole sitting, where people would People would climb flagpoles and sit on top of them for extended periods of time.
That sounds painful.
You think you want to do that?
No.
Nope. You don't like heights, though.
I'm scared to death of heights.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that would be uncomfortable.
I think it's uncomfortable and high.
Yeah.
So I'm not going in.
Agreed. So neither one of us are going to try that. I can understand why it's not a fad today.
Yes.
They were bored. All right. So what are we talking about today?
We are redoing one. Because we had some technical difficulties.
Yeah, the person, namely me, that was running the sound system.
It's all good. We forgive you.
Up and couldn't hear you.
It's all good. But we're here today, 2 Samuel chapter 1.
Okay, 2 Samuel
chapter 1. Read 1 through 4, Dr. Marla.
All right, 2 Samuel 1, 1 through 4. After the death of Saul, David returned from striking down the Amalekites and stayed in Ziklag 2 days. On the third day, a man arrived from Saul's camp in his with his clothes torn and dust on his head. When he came to David, he fell to the ground to pay him honor. "Where have you come from?" David asked him. He answered, "I have escaped from the Israelite camp." "What happened?" David asked. "Tell me." "The men from the battle," he replied, "many of them fell and died, and Saul and his son Jonathan are dead."
So here they are. Now, David and his men, remember, David was kind of backslidden.
Yes.
He actually was working, and he was a soldier of the Philistines.
Correct.
And him and his men and their wives and family and things were stolen by some Amalekites.
Right.
So they went, and they had a little fisticuff. And now they slaughtered the Amalekites. David was victorious, and he brought his family, his wives and his soldiers, his wives and family and things. And they went back to Ziklag.
Yes.
And they went back to camp. And so something happens. This man comes from Saul's camp to report the death of Saul.
Yes.
And his three sons.
Right.
That, you know, this is a sad ending.
It is a very sad ending to know that Saul and his sons were dead.
They could have had it all.
They could have. Yes.
Whitney Houston song.
Yeah.
Didn't they? No.
Okay. Yeah. Let's not.
Yeah. But they could have had it all.
Yes.
And a lot of times, like I said last time, a lot of the choices our leaders make and what we make affect many people.
Absolutely.
And so this is a good example.
Yes.
So a man came from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and dust on his head. David knew this was bad news. This wasn't good news because this was a traditional expression of mourning for the dead.
Right.
And so therefore, you know, he immediately, David, reacted with humble mourning. Go ahead and read 5 through 10.
Then David said to the young man who brought in the report, "How do you know that Saul and his son Jonathan are dead?" "I happened to be on Mount Gilboa," the young man said, "and there was Saul leaning on his spear with the chariots and their drivers in hot pursuit. When he turned around and saw me, he called out to me and said, 'What can I do?'
Now, this is interesting.
Yes.
Because the Amalekite story does not totally add up.
No.
Because we know Saul was mortally wounded.
Yes.
And then Saul fell on his own sword.
Right.
The guard, his armor bearer, many believe was an Amalekite as well.
Okay.
Would slay himself, commit yes. suicide, because yes. he didn't want to slay Saul.
Right.
Out of fear. So this guy either is lying or saw Saul and did it for him. I think he's lying.
I think he's lying, too, and he's really trying to make a lot of himself just reading between the lines.
He wants a reward.
Yeah.
He wants to be maybe rich.
Right. He's thinking that David's going to be happy that he's telling these things.
You know, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil.
Mm.
Yeah, not just evil, but all kinds of evil.
Right, right.
Everything you can think of that's evil goes back a lot of times to money.
You're right.
And the love of it.
Yes.
So he took the crown and the bracelet to receive that reward from David that he mm-hmm. thought he was going to get.
Right.
We're mm-hmm. going to see out of the tongue, the heart speaks, and we yes. can cut our own throat with our own tongue.
Very true.
Very, very true. So, and interesting enough, this guy's an Amalekite too.
Right.
It's almost like God has an exclamation point saying, I meant what I said.
Right, because Saul was supposed to take them all out. And if he had, this whole scene wouldn't be here.
So he says, I am Amalekite.
Mm-hmm.
And if Saul would have obeyed God, then there would not have been the Amalekites left. And this would right. not have been an issue as right. well.
Absolutely.
So when we look at the Amalekites, a lot of times the Amalekites are kind of representative of the flesh.
That makes sense.
Whereas the Israelites are representative of the spirit.
Yes.
Amalekites do not fear God.
Right.
Amalekites do not obey God.
Mm-hmm.
They do not listen to God's promises.
Correct.
They put trust in men instead of God.
Right.
And so we have to watch that too, not walking in the flesh, but walking in the spirit.
True.
Go ahead and read 11 through 12.
Okay. Then David and all the men with him took hold of their clothes and tore them. They mourned and wept and fasted till evening for Saul and his son Jonathan and for the army of the Lord and for the nation of Israel because they had fallen by the sword.
You know, it's interesting because David would have been one to been, I would have considered to be justified
mm-hmm.
to celebrate.
He would have been, but this shows his character and how he honored the fact that Saul was his king.
Yes.
And Jonathan was his friend. And he wanted to mourn them like he should.
And, you know, this also points to how Jesus says to love your enemies.
Yes.
David really did have a desire. I think Saul was like a father figure to David.
I think so. I think at this point, probably what flashed through his mind was all the good times he had had with Saul and the times when Saul had treated him like a son, which there were quite a few of those times. And I think all that went through his head and really made him want to honor him by mourning in the right way.
Here is Saul that really stole David's family, home, security, best right. years of David's life.
Yep.
And David's mourning.
He's still honoring him, which is amazing.
And that's what Jesus says, love your enemies.
Right.
And you can see a lot of imagery or types of yes. Jesus here.
Yes.
Yeah.
He doesn't say a bad word about him. He just mourns for him.
It's hard to love our enemies.
It is hard to love our enemies. It really is.
But God tells us to.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. And so did all the other people.
Right.
They mourned. They yes. followed David's lead.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you want people follow the leader, trickle down.
Yes. Yes.
For Saul and Jonathan.
Yes.
The entire house of Israel
mm-hmm.
Mourned. Yeah. Go ahead and read 13 through 16.
David said to the young man who brought him the report, "Where are you from?" "I am the son of a foreigner, an Amalekite," he answered. David asked him, "Why weren't you afraid to lift your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" Then David called one of his men and said, "Go strike him down." So he struck him down and he died. For David had said to him, your blood be on your head. Your own mouth testified against you when you said, I killed the Lord's anointed.
Wow.
Yeah.
There he goes. Where are you from? Amalekite. Almost like God is saying, see, this is it. This is the, I'm dotting the I.
Yeah. Yeah. Repercussion from what was not done. And he's kind of saying it real proud like.
Oh, yeah.
But it didn't end very well.
Well, this guy was thinking he was going to get a reward. Yeah. So where are you from?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's probably like, I'm an Amalekite.
Right.
I'm going to get some money. And I'm going to get some power.
Got none of that.
And then he asked another shrewd question. How was it you weren't afraid?
Right.
You know, there's a time of, you know, to be born and time to die.
Right.
A time to kill.
Yes.
War.
Right.
You know, capital punishment.
Yeah.
Defense of a nation or a people.
Mm-hmm.
But we are not to take someone's life in our hands.
No, we are not.
And this guy did that. Or he lied about it. He lied about it.
Lied. Yeah, he didn't. He wasn't the one, but he lied about it because he thought that it would make him look bigger that he had done this and he would be rewarded. But his reward was not a reward. He was killed instead.
Can you imagine his face when David said, go kill him, strike him down?
I cannot even imagine. Yeah.
I bet you he had to check his drawers.
Well, yeah, probably so.
So, yeah. Your blood is on your own head, for your own mouth.
Right.
The most powerful weapon in the world is the tongue.
Yeah.
James. Small. James says that. James 3.
Yes.
So, you know, you could have really justified this, though. I mean, Saul was near death.
Mm-hmm.
He was against God, against David. He was, you know, you could have justified killing Saul.
Yeah, but not to David, because David realized he was the Lord's anointed.
And so should we.
Right.
Yeah. You know, how many of us complain about, like, our leaders?
Oh, I know a lot of people. Well, I know I've done it before.
And some of them are quite mean, evil, spirited.
Awful. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
We need to check our hearts.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Well, and then 17 through 18.
Okay. David took up his lament concerning Saul and his son Jonathan, and he ordered that the people of Judah be taught this lamentation. Okay, lamentation of the bow. It is written in the book of Jashar.
Jashar, yeah.
Jashar. Okay, I'm just messing
with Jashar. Now, this is interesting because David's writing this song to remember them.
Right.
David is artistic.
He is very.
And to remember his friends. And so this is written in the book of Jasher, which is a part of the Apocrypha.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a canonized, which means it's not scripture.
Right.
It's not God-breathed, but it's definitely historical.
Yeah. I mean, the 66 books that make up the Bible were canonized, were, you know, said that this is God's word, this is a scripture. But then you have kind of like these other books that have historical meaning that's good to read.
Enoch, Maccabees.
Right.
Good to read, but it's not scripture.
Right.
So anyhow, but some of it is because it's quoted.
Correct.
Yeah. So David's lamentation is regarding his memory of his friends. And go ahead and read this 19 through 27. This is the song written for about Saul and Jonathan.
All right. A gazelle lies slain on your heights, Israel. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath. Proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon. Lest the daughters of the Philistines be glad. Lest the daughters of the uncircumcised rejoice. Mountains of Gilboa, may you have neither dew nor rain. May no showers fall on your terrace fields. For there the shield of the mighty was despised, the shield of Saul no longer rubbed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the flesh to the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back. The sword of Saul did not return unsatisfied. Saul and Jonathan, in life they were loved and admired, and in death they were not parted. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Daughters of Israel, weep for Saul, who clothed you in scarlet and finery, who adorned your garments with ornaments of gold. How the mighty have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies slain on your heights. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You are very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women. How the mighty have fallen. The weapons of war have perished.
So the beauty of Israel, he's calling on all Israel to remember these men.
Yeah.
With love.
Right.
A generous heart towards them. Even though Saul was trying to kill him.
Right.
He's telling everyone, the daughters from the mountains and the fields. Mm-hmm. Saul's a mighty warrior.
Yes.
I mean, this amazes me how he could do this.
He was so honoring him. After so many times Saul tried to kill David, but in death, David is doing the right thing and he's honoring him because he was his king.
Yeah, that's true. How the mighty have fallen. Mm-hmm. And I think there is a subconscious Holy Spirit-led thing here.
Okay.
That even he's referring, I think, subconsciously to Saul.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I see that.
Yeah. The hardening of his heart towards God.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But the last thing is Jonathan.
Yeah. He really honors him here.
I love you more than women, surpassing of a woman.
And some people will take that and twist it, but we know that that should not be twisted.
That's perverted.
Yeah.
Some perverts, people that want to pervert the word of God.
Right.
Will try to say, oh, they're homosexuals.
No.
Now, you have to understand something. David was married to several women, which was unbiblical.
Right.
And so he really, there was no way for him to have the love of a woman as a wife because he wasn't married biblically.
True. And also what's important, I mean, I know women, we have like several friends and can get close to people, but don't you feel like as a man, if you find somebody that you're close to, that you can
women
share,
can understand that some parts. Right. Of that. Yes, that's
that
true.
That you can share your thoughts with because, you know, a lot of men have a hard time having really good friendships, but David and Jonathan didn't have that problem.
I think David and Jonathan had some conversations that they really, really no one could fulfill.
Right.
And I think in American culture, especially.
Yes. Yeah.
Men don't have that very often.
No, because men are supposed to be stoic and all that. And it's really sad because men need that close friendship so they can like uplift each other and be there for each other, just as women do. It's very important. So if you have that person, if you're a man, you have that person, that is awesome.
And really, this is the beginning of David rising to kingship.
Yeah. It is.
And David coming out of his backslidden state.
And he handled it so honorably.
He did.
He really did.
And I think that that's a perfect example of how God can take a mess, turn it to a message for his glory, for your good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day. Goodbye.